genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I have a couple of announcements and two shout-outs. First, the announcements. If you tuned in at 9 o'clock hoping to hear the Freeman Michaels Show, he's on holiday hiatus. You can go to the Freeman Michaels Show Facebook page for updates on when he will return. And if you were listening at 9 o'clock, you know that Billy the Brain, Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, has been expanded to 2 hours. That's right. We're now on from 9 to 11 o'clock weekdays here on KKZZ or streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. I hope that you will tune in to hear our first hours as well. Also, some shout-outs. Big shout-out to Bill down in Pasadena, who is with the Cordon Bleu College of Culinary Arts. Bill, thank you very much for being a loyal listener to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. And also a shout-out to Jim right here in Oxnard, who's with LULAC. Thank you very much for listening to our show as well. And as I said, every show has a theme. Today's theme is image and self-image. Each of my three guests will discuss an aspect of image that the outside world sees, for which we may have a completely different self-image. My first guest is an expert on leadership, motivation, and success. He'll describe for us the leadership rules. My second guest is a business ethicist. Now, before you jump to any conclusions that business ethics is an oxymoron, you might want to hear what he has to say about the comeback of business ethics in 2011. My third guest is the national advocate for the American demographic in fashion and in lifestyle. She'll discuss women's self-image and how it's changed over the years. And if you want to join in and join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Chris Widener, my first guest, is a successful business person, author, speaker, and television host. He's authored over 450 articles and 9 books, including the New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestseller titled 12 Pillars, which he co-wrote with the late Jim Rome. Chris has been speaking professionally since 1988, and he shared the stage with U.S. presidential candidates and other celebrity speakers. Chris's latest book is titled Leadership Rules, How to Become the Leader That You Want to Be. Welcome to the show, Chris. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Always good to have you on the show. Loved your new book, Leadership Rules, just in time for the new year. It's a great read. Now, I want to go back to the beginning of your career, your life a little bit, because this book, Leadership Rules, is really born out of your experience, and some of it was painful. You had a kind of a difficult start in life. Your father died when you were only 4 years old, and you were sent off to live with relatives. How did your past and your upbringing influence the writing of Leadership Rules?
Well, I think that, one of the things that people try to avoid is suffering and pain. And I found, of course, I'm 44 years old now, and I hopefully have another 44 years to go. But in the 44 years I've been here, I've really begun to realize that most of our character and the lessons that are going to take us far are actually learned in those hard times. And so, really just having to grasp from the very bottom of the barrel and having to learn these lessons without any mentors and having to fight my way through on almost every level to get what it is that I wanted, it really made me a strong person, and it really made me a person who had to take a look at human personality and figure out how to interact with other people in order to get the kind of life that I wanted to get. So Leadership Rules is really, I think, ultimately, it's an assessment of human personality. and how to understand other people and how to interact with them as a leader, so that you're able to become the leader you want to be and then move your group or your organization or your family ahead and achieve the goals that you want to achieve as an organization.
Well, Chris, you are a leadership expert, and it's kind of interesting because you write about leadership, and you have the concept that many of us have the wrong ideas about leadership, that leadership somehow it comes from the top. Tell us your thoughts behind leadership and how it's different from a top-down approach.
Well, I think that some of the myths that we've sort of put into our brains over the years is that leadership is this super complex, you know, there's a million books on leadership and organizational leadership and the organizational charts and, you know, all this stuff. And what I say in the book and have said for years is that leadership is really pretty simple. It's very difficult, but it's simple. And it's simple because it's really about interacting with other people. It's difficult because those people represent literally thousands of different variables. And so you might have 100 people in your group, you know, whether it's your business or your church or, you know, whatever it is that you're engaged in, your PTA, the first 100 people probably each have 500 variables. You do the math and all of a sudden you're looking at, you know, tons and tons of variables. And so it becomes very difficult. But the thing that the book teaches is that even with all those variables, there are some simple rules that if you follow them, you're going to be able to achieve what it is that you want. I very specifically took the word rules because a lot of people who try to sell books and try to sell seminars, they want to teach you the secret. They want to teach you the laws. You do this and this will happen. Well, you know what? That doesn't work with people. So I very specifically chose the term rules because, you know what? Sometimes you do these things and they don't work. But there are some basic premises that I think work most of the time. And I wanted people to sort of feel a freedom from this idea that there's these laws, because we get sold on these laws, and then we try them, and they don't work, and we feel like failures.
I see.
So, I really wanted just to teach people, look, this is pretty simple. Follow the four basic rules, and you're going to move yourself forward. You're going to be pretty successful.
Well, I love it. I love what you say. Leadership is simple, but it's not easy. That's the important part. And the part about your book, Leadership Rules, that I like, Chris, is this, that you started out, it's an allegory for the first, I'd say, three quarters of the book, and then you deliver the four rules that are the leadership rules that you're talking about. So take us through those rules, will you please? Because they're very simple, as you said, yet extremely, extremely powerful.
Yes. The first one is that you get what you expect. And the story in the book is about a high school football coach. And he's sort of teaching these lessons. He's a very successful high school football coach, and he teaches these lessons to this businessman who's been sent down to this little town to oversee this plant in East Lake, Texas. And basically what he teaches this businessman is that you get what you expect. If you expect if you expect people to be mediocre, they're going to be mediocre. If you expect them to be great, they're going to be great. As a leader, it's really all about where we set the bar. And I think a lot of times, people hope that they'll do well, but they expect that they'll be mediocre. And hope is not a leadership strategy. You know, we shouldn't just hope that people will do well, or that they'll do their jobs, or that they'll perform at a high level. You need to set those expectations with people, be clear about them, communicate them, and then follow up on them.
But expectations... I'm sorry, Chris, but expectations are a tricky thing in and of themselves, aren't they, Chris? Because you've got to make the expectation exciting and challenging, yet also achievable in the same breath.
Yeah, that's one of the things I always say is you got to make it big enough to motivate, small enough to achieve. Because if it's not big enough to motivate, well, then nobody, you know, wants to do it. But if it's too big, they can't achieve it. They get disgruntled or discouraged, and then they quit. So setting those expectations is in and of itself a something that we learn as leaders over the course of years. And it sometimes means sitting down with the people and saying, hey, you know, let's look at your goals together and let's set them. But really it's about setting the expectation. And the book isn't really about how to get to the expectations, but it's about being clear that you have to set them. Sitting down with people and saying, what are we going to do first quarter? What are we going to do this month? And setting those expectations, not just hoping that, you know, your salespeople will go out and sell this month, but expecting them to. And then communicating them to them that you expect them to. You know, do you communicate to your people that that they're going to do great, that you expect them to do great, or do we communicate to people that we expect them to be mediocre? Generally speaking, people will live up to whatever we expect from them.
All right.
Our kids, our employees, whoever it is, they live up to what we expect from them.
All right. We're talking to Chris Widener, everybody, author of the book Leadership Rules, How to Become the Leader You Want to Be. And, Chris, in your whole section on what you expect what you get, or get you get what you expect, pardon me, in that, you talk about setting the expectations. One of the things I'd like you to elaborate on a little bit for me, please, is if you set some expectations and people miss those expectations partway through the time period, what do you do about readjusting or recalibrating the expectations?
Well, first of all, you don't condemn. You go sit down with the person and say, hey, you know, we missed these. And I always use the word we because we're on the same team, especially as the leader. You know, you don't just say, hey, you're terrible, you suck, you know. You say, hey, we missed this. What can I do to help you? Let's readjust. Let's take a new look. And you sit down with them and you collaborate. That's what a leader does. So a leader collaborates with people, and a leader is a servant of their people ultimately, and not a dictator, but a servant. And our job is to help them achieve the things that we either we decide or we decide with them should be the expectation. So, you know, you sit down with people and you say, hey, how do we readjust this? What can we do? Maybe this was an unreasonable expectation. What would be more reasonable? And you collaborate on it and reset the expectations for the next time frame.
Very good. All right, so that's rule number one. You get what you expect. What's the second rule?
Second one is you get what you model. And this is basic. I mean, anybody who's had kids, you've tried to lead. And the worst thing any parent ever hears is, well, why should I do it? You don't do it.
Right.
Anybody who has kids, that's like the death knell. Hear those words, right? And it's true though in all everything. We can't expect our people to get there at 9 a.m. if we pull in at 9:15. We can't expect our people to take a half hour lunch if we're taking an hour and a half lunch. We can't expect our people to, you know, X, Y, and Z if we don't X, Y, and Z. So it's really about maintaining the character and the integrity of the leader, because we can expect stuff from other people. But if we aren't doing it ourselves, human nature is such. And again, remember I said this book is really about the perception of my perception of what human nature is and how people work. If we don't live those things out, then they're not going to live them out. And they'll have reason to not live them out.
Well, well said. And this is the one rule in the whole 169 pages of your book, Leadership Rules, that resonated with me. And you said something there that it will stick with me forever. And it's part of the you get what you model. And this is the part that I found just so prophetic. And that is, you write, you can only lead people to where you are, not beyond. Would you expand on that, please?
Yeah, you know, we're the leader. And I sometimes, when I think of leadership, I use an analogy of walking along a trail. You're trying to climb a mountain. And we always have to be out front. We have to be the one who's out front. We're the leader. We're the one who's pioneering. We're the one who's choosing the path. And the people come with us. Now, if we all of a sudden stop and we say, you know, go on ahead, well, if they've never been there, if they don't know it, if they don't know how to get up the path, we're the leader, right? But if we stop and they go ahead, they're going to become lost. They might fall off the edge of the cliff. They might get stranded, you know. So it's really about making sure that the leader is involved in their own personal development so that they can be out ahead of their group and pulling people along with them.
Oh, that's so important to me. I think that's great. All right, so that's rule number two. You get what you model.
One of the things I try to communicate to people in leadership is a lot of times leaders will say, well, wait a minute, I give them a paycheck, you know. That's why they should do what I tell them to do. And that's true. In a perfect world, that is why they should do what it is that they do, because you give them a paycheck. The fact is, human nature is such that people do what they get rewarded for. And we started as little kids, you know, when little kids are learning to go potty on the toilet, we give them M&Ms and little Snickers bars and, you know, that kind of stuff. And when they're in third grade, they turn in a test and they get the test back, the first thing they look for is that little red star mm-hmm. that gets put on their deal. And football players, you know, I played football growing up. Every Monday practice after the game, when the stickers got handed out, we all wanted that stolen crossbones, or we wanted that football sticker. You know, we wanted something. And that doesn't stop when you turn 18. In fact, it was funny. I was watching college football this last weekend, and big-time college football. We're getting into the bowl season. And you know what I thought was funny? there were stickers all over their helmets. And I thought, here's 22-year-old kids who are at the top of the amateur game, many of whom are going to go become pro football players and make millions of dollars, and they still get thrilled by those little stickers on their helmet. You know, if people listening, watch football now for the next few weeks. Not the NFL, because the NFL doesn't like stickers on their helmets, but watch college football and look at how many of them have those stickers on their helmets. And that's a reward. You know, somebody could say, well, you know, you get a scholarship and you should do it for whatever. Well, no, they also love that little reward that says you did a great job.
Well, even,
I think leaders need to learn that in their place of work. We need to reward people in small ways, big ways.
Absolutely. And, Chris, you're old enough to remember back to the 1978, the Pirates, We Are Family, and all of that. Willie Stargell.
Yeah.
Used to give out, and this is at the professional baseball level. Willie Stargell used to give out stars to professional athletes at that time. And then, of course, they went on to win the World Series. So, obviously, it pays rewards at every level, doesn't it?
I think Dave Parker was the center fielder for them that year, wasn't he?
I believe Parker was the right fielder, but yes, he was in the outfield. No question about it. Powerful team. Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
so,
and that's true. It's a great lesson. People like to be rewarded.
That's it. And so that's it. Rule number three, you get what you reward. Rule number four, then, is?
You get what you work for, and, you know, that's pretty simple as well. A lot of times people look at people with big businesses or successful businesses, and they go, well, it was easy for him. Well, that's hogwash. I've worked with thousands of people all around the world, and the one thing that I thought about the people who've been successful is that they're the ones usually who've worked the hardest.
Mm.
Yeah, every now and then you get people who you know, they're born into a trust fund or, you know, they get the family business or whatever. But the vast majority of people who succeed are people who outwork the other people. And so you want to be a great leader and build a great organization, again, whether it's a church or a family or a business, you got to work hard. And you got to put in the time, you got to put in the effort. You got to work with people in some situations that are negative. You're going to have to be patient and take the long-term approach. But it's hard work to be a great leader.
And
I wanted to remind people that when you work hard at it, it usually works out for you.
Ah, well said. That's well said. We're talking to Chris Widener, everybody, author of the book Leadership Rules, How to Become the Leader You Want to Be. And, Chris, we've only got about a minute left, but before you leave us, I really want you to explain to our listeners the distinction that you draw between hunting and fishing as it applies to leadership and how leadership draws people, leaders draw people to themselves.
Yeah, well, hunting is when you go after an animal, and fishing is when the animal comes to you. And I think a lot of times we as leaders, we try to go after people and we try to hunt them down. And the natural tendency is for people to run when they think that they're being tracked. And so the idea of fishing is that we as leaders, we work on our own personal development. We work on ourselves. We make ourselves into the type of people that other people trust, respect, and admire. And then that draws people toward us. Sort of like bait in a fishing illustration. And so really leadership is about making something of yourself. The more you make of yourself, the more you're going to attract good people around you, and the more you're then going to be able to build your business or your organization.
Well, that's great. If you want to be a better leader in 2011, you will probably want to pick up Chris Widener's book, Leadership Rules, How to Become the Leader You Want to Be. Chris, if people have been listening to the sound of your voice, they like what you have to say, they want to learn more about the book or learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, they can go to chriswidener.com, and that's C-H-R-I-S, and the last name is Widener, W-I-D-E-N-E-R, and that's the main page. But if they want to learn about the book, they can go to chriswidener.com/leadership rules. And, of course, they can also find it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Borders. And
or here in Ventura, you can also find it at Bank of Books, one of the sponsors of this show as well, Chris.
Yep. Most bookstores are going to have it, and you'll notice it's got a picture of a football field. It has a really great cover on it that pops right out, and I think it's going to be a hit.
Well, Chris, you're a delightful guest. Thank you so much for taking some of your morning to be with us here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
You take care, Chris.